Would please turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 3. The past few sermons that I have preached to you, we have heard much on spiritual warfare. Wanted to consider a psalm that deals with this topic. Give us something we can pray and read. As we endure that. Psalm 3. This is God's holy word. A psalm of David. He fled from Absalom, son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Before we hear the word proclaimed, let us again ask God's blessing on us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do find ourselves many times under though few suffer the physical attacks endured by David, Father, we ask that you would have mercy upon us, that we might hear, that we might give attention, that we might have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and minds as we are led through this response to attack by your servant David, and indeed by Jesus Christ. God, help us, aid us by your Spirit, we pray, to have ears that hear, eyes to see, hearts that love, desire your word, seek to fall after. Grant our request, we pray. In Jesus' name. How do we respond when we are attacked? It might be a response of fear, anxiety, it might be a response of bitterness. Against God. There might be a response of anger for the one who is attacking us. Maybe we just want our revenge on this person or these people who attack us. This is a particular kind of attack here in Psalm 3. It's an attack focused on attacking the one of faith. Attacking on the faith, even, of this one who confesses God. You might imagine in our own context, in our own day and age, not enemies rising up against us with weapons, although that can happen. We might imagine an enjoyable professor who laughs at your faith and your God. We might imagine the fun-loving co-worker whose fun is, the idea of fun is more and more sin. We might imagine the snide remarks of an unsaved spouse, and even scorn an unsaved child or grandchild. There's an order to the book of Psalms. I hope you might have noticed that as you're reading the Psalms. I hope you'll realize that as you read the Psalms, and you walk and as you read the Psalms, they are arranged. They're arranged for a particular reason. They're arranged to point to the need for a representative who can accomplish for Israel what David could not. The psalm was put in its final arrangement likely after the exile. So Israel is asking the question, what now? There's no king on the throne. So it's arranged in a particular order to point forward to a king who would come and accomplish what David did not. And of course, that king is Christ. But in relation to Psalm 3, I want you to notice Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. have your copy of God's Word open there. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 form a prologue, if you will, the first part of the Psalms. Help us arrange our thinking as we go through the Psalms. Look down at Psalm 2, and look down at verse 7. Again, this is, verse 6. The response of God to the nations rising up against the people of Israel, against God's people. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Now notice what it is that God says. I have set my king on my holy hill, Zion. What is the thing that's going to put the nations in disarray? It's that God is sent to rule over his people. He sent Jesus Christ. Now it's because there is an appointed king on the holy hill, Psalm 2, that we read in Psalm 3, look down at verse 4, he heard me, his holy hill. So this is the confidence of the psalmist, that his prayers and our prayers are answered by God. So Psalm 3 comes after Psalm 2. That's why I learned this in a minute. But it's a particular arrangement to focus our attention on this one who will come after David, to accomplish what David cannot. Psalm 3 is also a song of lament. You may not have heard that word before. It's like crying out to God in times of great difficulty. To crying out to God in times of great difficulty. It's a song then, Psalm 3, offered in faith. And what lament is. Asking how long. God is asking why God has brought this at this time. But it's a cry of faith and belief. It shows us godly use of emotion in time of great difficulty. Come for us under attack. Given to us for this purpose. There's one thing here that God is at work even in the midst of it. Even when the psalmist is under attack, God is still at work. He's still accomplishing his purposes. So we're going to hear the recounting of the attack during the song, response to the attack, and then the result of the attack. Recounting of the attack, the response to the attack, God is working through the life of the psalmist. How should we respond when our faith comes under attack? Now, it's going to feel personal. It's going to feel on purpose. It's going to feel like this person or these people are attacking me and my church. But it's really an attack on our faith. We need to see it that way. We respond to it that way. So, verses 1 to 2, respond with awareness. Respond with awareness. Now, we respond with this awareness that it's a spiritual attack, an attack on faith, because God hears the prayers. God hears the prayers of his people. It's an awareness of faith. We're not just walking around assuming that God is not real, assuming that our faith is not real, assuming that our enemies are not. It's easy to read Psalm 3 and miss how the psalmist is responding to it. There's also a sense of urgency. I heard that. Many are my foes. Many are rising. Many are saying. It's overwhelming to him, this attack that has come. That was also the claim of the enemy of God, those who are without faith in Christ. What do they say? There's no help. No help for him in God. That's what they're saying. That's the attack. The claim that God is not who God is. God is not all-powerful. It's a claim that God is not faithful, or at least he's not going to be faithful to you. Us. It's a claim that our God is no better than you. It's interesting to come in our time back to this idea of other gods. You have people who are literally worshiping Norse gods again in paganism. They're saying that our God is Swami, that our truth is no better than their truth. Attack faith, attack on the faith of God, as it is attack on us. So what do we need to do? We need to do up the songs. He's leading us in our response. We must be aware that these attacks are never just mental. They're never just emotional. They're never just physical. There's always going to be a spiritual component. We must be aware of the spiritual nature. So when our faith is attacked, we must understand what's going on. We must respond with awareness. We must know in ourselves, in our own thinking, what's going on. And then we should respond with assurance. We should respond with confidence in God. This is verses 3 and 4. It's not self-confidence. David isn't saying here, Absalom's coming against me, and I have mighty armies. He's not saying, I'm a great warrior, I've done this before. No, he's crying out to God. Psalmist cries out to God, not try to manipulate God, not to try to get God to do something different than God has determined to do. This is a statement of faith in God. Calvin says, our souls are under attack like this. Not to defend them by our prayers. Not to defend them by our prayers. Now that should sound familiar. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. We put on the armor of God by praying. Praying. In the face of the loud cries of the wicked who say that there is no salvation in God, what does the believer do? He cries out to God all the more. He cries out to God all the more. Notice then his confidence in God. There's a contrast here. I don't know if you picked this up as I read it. In verses 1 and 2, we find the many repeated. Many, many, many. The overwhelm of the attack. But what is the response? What does David bring in response to this attack of the many that he finds? He has three titles of God here. For each attack of these wicked ones, on with who God is. He is a shield. David says, my comfort is not the shield that I put strap onto my arm. My comfort is that God is my shield. He is the glory of his people. We have a glory that puts empires to shame. Yeah, have you ever read about Rome? Aqueducts and their roads and their armies. All their glory, all their wealth. It's nothing. Where is it now? Gone. But we have a glory that does not fade away. It's not just our salvation. That we are God's people. God is our God. And the third thing, he is the one who restores. You, Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory. Lift up my head. God is the one who rescues. That's David's response. That's the contrast. Confidence in God. And then his confidence is also that God hears. God listens. God answers his prayer. And each time there's an attack that comes, each time God's people cry out, each time God delivers, this becomes a round foundation for more and more built and grows. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. I want to read through verses 5 through 10. First Peter 5 through 10. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And similar to what you heard in Ephesians. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, you want more grace? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. rescue is coming, the deliverance is coming. And beyond that, there's an exaltation of the world to come that's greater than anything we can imagine. How do we humble ourselves? Casting all your care on Him. Humble ourselves by praying. We humble ourselves before our God so that He might exalt us by praying. Why do we pray? He cares for us. He cares for His people. Now, why all this humility? Why do we need more grace? Why are we looking forward to that exaltation that will come? Sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, and seeking whom he may devour. Why does the lion roar? Hungry and trying to get some food. Looking for something to attack. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings we are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, not alone. You're not the only person. You're not the only Christian. You're not the only church. In fact, there's others who are suffering with you in the world. You're not alone. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, this is what God has. This is the danger, but this is also the remedy. God will answer this. If you want to turn back to Psalm 3 and listen, I wanted to develop this a little bit from Scripture and kind of give us a feel for this in terms of who God is, His Father, Son. And we pray expecting God to answer. This is what Christ says in Matthew 6. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need. He's listening. He's waiting for you to come with your prayers and your requests. Luke chapter 18, there's a parable that Christ told. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You may be familiar with this parable. It's the parable of the unjust judge, the persistent widow. He kept knocking on his door day in and day out. Get justice for me. That's what Christ is talking about. Why did he call that parable? Because we're supposed to be praying. Always praying and never giving up, never losing heart. Will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. It's God who is our judge. So we go to Him over and over and over without end, persistently, without losing heart. John chapter 15, we have more on prayer from Christ. I chose you, again, He's speaking to the apostles, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So what is that fruit? They were going to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ as rescue for those who had broken God's law and who were under God's justice and judgment. And then what happened? Churches all over the world spring up. That's the fruit of their proclamation of this good news about rescue. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. So again, in this context of churches being planted, of this good news of salvation going out into all the world, of the hatred of the world in response to this, what does Jesus say to His apostles? Pray, Father will hear you, will answer your prayer. We pray the same prayers. God, rescue. God, deliver. God, establish your church. And we should have every expectation that God will answer the prayers. Here's the prayers. Let me wrap up this second point with Romans chapter 8. Because it's not just the Father, and it's not just the Son, it's also the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When we pray for what God says to pray for, God hears our prayers and He grants our requests. It won't always be the way we want it. It won't always be when we want it. But God will answer according to the God hears prayers of His people offered by the Spirit through the Son. When our faith is attacked, then we should respond with assurance. Respond with awareness. First and second point. And then thirdly, last point, verses 5 through 8, the rest of Psalm 3. We should respond with acknowledgement. Respond with acknowledgement. God rests in the midst of verses 5 through 6. What do the many matter if we have verse 3? What do the many matter if we have God as our shield, if He is our glory, if He is our rescue? So we acknowledge God. We acknowledge God. Rest in Him. This is complete trust, confidence in God, and Him alone. One commentator put it this way: awakening, help, and safety, he feels grateful to Him to whom he owes it. It is the result of the fact that the Lord supports him and God's hand is put. God's hand. We're resting at night, not rest. That's your comfort. That's your hope. The unbelieving and the believing both have reason to fear in this. There are always going to be attacks. But the believer eventually overcome. Believer eventually overcome. Because God is at work. God is at work, verse 7, to overcome all his and our enemies. Although the many rise up against us, God is going to rise up against them. Although they say God cannot or will not save, what does God do? He saves. He delivers. And although they say things that are not true, asking God, their voice will one day there will be no more blasphemy, no more attacks, no more outcry, no more falsehood, no more lies about who God is, what God does. God overcomes all his and our enemies. Why also should we acknowledge? We respond to the attack with acknowledgement because God alone, verse 8, faith knows, believes, and rests in this. Salvation belongs to God. Not David, not David's armies, not us, it's not what we can do. Salvation belongs to God. These attacks are never only against just one person. Not just David who's being attacked. It will never just be you by yourself who's attacked. I mean, it might come when you're by yourself. But these attacks are attacks against God. These attacks are attacks against God's people. God's people have his favor. He identifies himself with us and us with him. He puts his name upon us. We are called by his name. Those who attack us, by extension, attack God. Not that they just hate David. Not just that they hate us. They hate God. Because God works through these attacks, we ought to respond. Respond to them with awareness of their spiritual nature. Respond to them with awareness, of God's mercy in the midst of them. And respond to them with an acknowledgement of who God is and praise to Him. His deliverance. This attack upon David's life, upon David, was a consequence of his own sin. Because of his own sin, that Absalom rose up against him. Spiritual attack may come because of our own sin. Maybe something that we have done in violation of God's law that attack comes against our faith. Now, let me say, is Jesus who is the perfect king. He is the one who has never sinned. In him, we have his goodness. That's what salvation is. That's what we receive when we rest upon him by faith. We receive his goodness, his innocence, his perfection placed on us so that we can face these attacks no matter where, when, or why they come. Same confidence as we read in Psalm. It was Christ Jesus on the cross who responded with, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He is risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven. He has conquered over sin and Satan and death and the world and its opposition to God. He delivers us from our sin. Because Jesus handed over to be crucified, we are held in God's heaven. For those of you this morning who are resting in Christ, who are trusting him, your faith, your confidence, all your hope placed in Jesus Christ alone. But don't be surprised. The attacks are going to come. They will be directed at you personally. They will be directed at your church. They will come against all Christians everywhere. Don't be surprised. Your faith is attacked. Very often in our day and age, this comes in terms of simply scorn. People are going to be blessed. Right? It's not that your coworker is going to walk up to you and touch you. He's going to laugh at you. He's going to attack your faith that way. You also need to be aware that the attack against our faith often comes in the form of entertainment. By making sin look appealing. Making sin look appealing. That's attack. Don't watch a movie without thinking. Don't listen to a song without thinking. What is this person saying? What are they portraying? What are they saying about God? What are they saying about God? Are they trying to make sin look appealing? Don't listen. Don't watch. God doesn't save us and then deliver us from all trouble. That's not how this works. So be on guard against unbelief. Be on guard against unbelief. Sorrow is normal. Fear is normal. Doubt is normal. Anger is normal. But always come back. Rest. Goodness. Rest. Goodness. Always return to trust his work to bring good out of evil. You're going to see much evil in your life. You may have already seen much evil in your life. Remember Joseph. God used Joseph and this great evil and sin against him to bring great good. Now you won't always get to see how that worked out in your life. But trust in the one who's working good out of you. Trust in him. Remember that your God is your protector. He is your avenger. Talk about that last. Someone would go out and avenge you because we have a whole justice system for us. God is the judge who will take care of those who harm his own, who will avenge you the attacks that are brought against you. Not your place to do it. God will take care of you. You are not left unprotected. He will not fail to bring you are trusting in Christ to the peace, the new heavens and the new earth. There will be no more attacks. There will be no more fear, no more doubt, no more unbelief. There will only be peace forever and ever. God is with them. That means he will take care of you. That means he will rescue you. That means he will take care of all your needs. Remember then that your greatest enemy is not people. Your greatest enemy is not people. Your greatest enemy is sin, Satan, and death. is natural and unnatural, right? None of us were supposed to die. Adam wasn't supposed to die. He was created to live forever, right? And yet we all die because Adam sinned. So we all know that we're all going to die. We all know that we're going to die, but death is an enemy. Don't lose sight of that. Death is an enemy. Death will be conquered by Christ. Jesus has defeated each and every one of these enemies already on the cross, and he will bring the completeness, the fullness of that defeat, sin, and death to Satan when he comes. And the reality of it now, and the fullness of it when he comes again, already conquered your sin. He's already defeated death by his resurrection from the dead. He's already conquered the evil one by his work of salvation. You have that reality now. You have that. You have the fullness of it. Own eyes. Christ return. Pray Psalm 3. Use this psalm as a prayer. Pray as a defense against these attacks when they come upon. Now, if it's useful for that, it's useful for many other things. So use it when you're tempted. Pray when you come under an attack of sin from within. Pray when you're tempted. Respond to trial. You're not under attack. There's no sin. It's just difficult. Something has gone wrong, and I just don't like it. Pray. Be always praying. In temptation, trial, difficulty, when these attacks come, our tendency will always be to focus on what's going on with me, why is this happening? Turn your focus back to God. Turn your eyes back to God, back to your Savior, back to what he has accomplished. But if you're here this morning, you don't have this protection. You don't have this Savior. You're not resting in this Christ, this King. You may not think of yourself this morning as an enemy of God, or an enemy of God's people. But if you're not trusting in Christ alone to save you, if you're not resting in this hope, then your hope is in something else. You're trusting in something else. You're going to someone else for help and safety, some other thought or some other idea, or even what you can do yourself. Means that you're violating God's command. Trust in him. Rest. This disobedience, against the God who has, against the God who is pure, against the God who is just, against the one who is goodness itself, means that you have made yourself an enemy. You refuse to protect you. In the camp of the evil one. No neutral position. This means that when you're attacked in this life, attacks come against you personally. You have no protection. You have no rescuer. You have no deliverer. So let me say to you today, stop trusting in false hope. Stop resting in places that are no rest. Stop trusting your family. Stop trusting your parents. Stop trusting the church that you go to. None of these things will save you. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ will save you. Come to him today. Trust in him today. Confess your sin. Trust in him. The psalm reminds us that God is faithful. Reminds us that he is all powerful. Calls us to rest in him, the one who brings good from every evil. Our God, not just a rescuer, not just protection, enemy. Our God is a God who takes him, his own enemy, takes himself, makes us sons of the Most High God, that we dwell in glory with him forever. We have all the glory of heaven forever. Sons who were enemies of God. An amazing God, greater than our God.